when I was here, we preached on the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you remember that. And in particular, the structure of the Lord's Prayer. Okay. Thank you, Roger. And we divided the structure of the Lord's Prayer in three sections at a time. One was to acknowledge God. The other one was Jesus was teaching us how to pray for our physical needs, e.g., for example, our daily bread. And the last bit, Jesus wants us to be part of the forgiving fellowship, meaning that we pray to forgive. And we did this in the Aramaic language. I don't know if you remember. The Aramaic language was the language that Jesus spoke. Okay? Today we are going to preach on God's forgiveness, as it is found in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, and also in Luke. And in particular, we are going to focus on verse 12 in Matthew, and to preach in particular why and how we should forgive. Two different things. Why we should forgive and how we should forgive. Because Jesus wants us, all of us, to be part of the forgiving fellowship. In other words, we are going to focus on to know why we should forgive and to learn how to forgive, as it is found in the Gospel of Matthew. I am going to speak on both statements at the same time and reflect on them as I move along on the preaching. Okay? Both of them will come together all the way. How and why? To answer those two statements, we need to reflect on the teaching of Jesus and how it affects our personal relationship with Him. Because He alone will provide the answers of why we should forgive and how to forgive. To find the answer to these two points, we must make it biblical and how it touches us, to make it personal. For the simple reason, how do I dare to stand here before you to preach on forgiveness if I do not forgive? How do I dare to do that? How cynical I will be if I do that. How do I dare to preach on forgiveness if I ask God to forgive me and I do not forgive those who sin against me, debt or wrong me? We are never more like God than when, for Christ's sake, we extend forgiveness fully and freely to those who wrong us. I tell you what, it is so difficult to forgive. I know. It's extremely difficult to forgive. Almost impossible. Unless you surrender to Christ. I will explain what I mean by using my personal experience. We need to remember that to sin is human. It is part of us. It comes easily from us. We don't have to make an effort. It is who we are. But forgiveness is divine. We are never closer to God's grace than when we admit our sins and cry out for Him to pardon us. Early this year, we touched on this subject briefly when we were preaching on the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. In the New Testament, Matthew used the word debt for sin. Why? Oh, because Matthew was using the Aramaic language. That's why he used debt. But Luke, he was writing this in Greek, so he used the word sin. Both words mean the same. The prayer is the same, and the Bible is telling us that one way God thinks of sin, also he thinks as a debt. Okay? Now, this is the Bible reading today. You have it with you in your Bible and also in the handout that Barbara mentioned to you. So I am not going to read it, because I will assume that you were listening and you have already read it, okay? I am not going to go through that. And also, we are going to mention other Bible reading. I am not going to read them. I might in some areas, but not all of them. So you know it is there if you want to read it. As I already said, we are going to reflect to know why we should forgive and to learn how to forgive. We are going to do it at the same time as we move along on our preaching, to know why we should forgive and to learn how to forgive. Probably you have noticed, but you have already said that many times, where we are people who need to listen all the time. We can approach the issue of forgiveness from many different points of view. We can approach it from a secular point of view or from a philosophical point of view. There are two ways to reflect on forgiveness. But the only way for us Christians is to approach it from a biblical point of view. We cannot go to any other source but a biblical one. If we know the love of Christ, then at least we can begin to comprehend what it means. I am going to break the preaching in two sections. And in each one of them, I will speak on the how and the why. Okay? So the first one is, I know that forgiveness cannot change the past, but can change the future. The second one is the power of the love of Christ. In Matthew 6:12, Jesus explained to us how to pray about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So Matthew uses here debt because he is writing this in Aramaic. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he made forgiveness the cornerstone of the relationship with God. So for Jesus, forgiveness was very important. That is why it is in the Lord's Prayer. God has forgiven our sins. We must now forgive those who debt, wrong, or sin against us. To remain unforgiving shows we have not understood that we ourselves deeply need to be forgiven. Think of some people who have wronged you in the past. Think of them. Have you forgiven them? Now, if you don't remember, it means that you have forgiven them. If you don't bring them back to your mind, it means that you have already in your heart forgiven them. So well done. How will God deal with you if he treats you as you treat others? This is why we should forgive. As simple as that. Now, point number one. I know that forgiveness cannot change the past, but it can change the future. Okay. I am going to share my personal experience about forgiveness to illustrate the point. Otherwise, I will be a hypocrite. Now, I am not going to say anything bad about those who I believe debt, sin, or wrong me, because they are my brothers in Christ. Now, this is my story, in short. It was the year 2018, and my father and my mother, they were Catholics. And they had 14 children. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. That's good. And I was in the middle of them. I was number 7. Now, my brother and my sister, on that year, 2018, they died in Spain. My brother and my sister, older than me. So I asked the board permission to go. I have been a school principal for 33 years, okay, in a Christian school, 33 years. I asked the board to go and visit my family, because in Spain, they have in their roots the Arab culture, because they were there 8th century. And I didn't know when I was little, but there, the Christians, they took the Arab culture, and when you die, you are buried the same day or the day after, even if you are a Christian. But I didn't think at the time. So when my brother died, they buried him the following day. So from here to there is a long way. And my sister too. So I couldn't attend the funeral. But I said to their families, I will go at the end of the year to see you. Which I did. So I went to Spain to see my brother and my sister's family. When I came back, a group of people in the school community, they are my brothers and sisters, they wrote a narrative to the school board, because they believe that Christian education should be done in a different manner. I respect that. I don't have any problem with that. But what the board did was to dismiss me as the principal in my absence. So when I came back, they told me, I said, yeah, okay, I accept what you have done. I don't have any problem with that. But why haven't you asked me? Why haven't you explained to me why? Why didn't you give me the Christian approach? Let's listen to the other part, which I was denied. I said, okay, that's fine. I was hurt. And my wife knows I pray for those who did that to me. But amazing. 2 weeks or 3 weeks after, they came to restore me to be the principal. And I was, okay. Now, I said to them, listen, I am sorry. I cannot accept, because leadership is all about trust. And I don't trust people. and I am praying for them, I forgive them. Now, in the last 3 years, this is what has been happening in me. Sometimes I am in the dark side. I just want to be a serial killer and kill all of them who wrong me, because that is not fair. And when I was behaving like a serial killer, I knew I was in a bad side. I knew I was in a dark place. I knew I was in a bad place. And then I returned to the Lord and I asked Him to forgive me. And I pray for those who wronged me. And since the last 3 days, sometimes I go to the dark side. But the good thing is that I chose in my heart to forgive them. That's the first step. And the Lord, little by little, has been softening my heart. And I pray for my brothers and sisters. And there are no records I have accused any of them. No record at all. I have praised all of them, all the good qualities that they had. Why? Because they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That they did wrong were that I lived in the Lord's hands. That sometimes I am in a bad place and I want to be a serial killer. Yes. But He rescued me. And He takes me to the good side. And I have chosen the good side. Why? Because I have an immense peace. And I want to taste that. The peace of Christ. When I am in the bad side, all the demons come to me. And the more I want to kill, the more I want to kill. And that is no good. So this is my story. I pray for the school. I wish them well. Because it's not only a few people who did wrong to me. It is the whole community that will benefit having a good principal, having good people, having prayer for people. Are you with me? So we have to put those things. And my wife is still working there. Why didn't she leave? Why? My husband has done nothing wrong. My son is still working there. I didn't appoint my son as a principal. I didn't appoint my wife as working there. The church and the school board did. I detached myself from there. I didn't even read the application. So I have nothing to do with the employment. My son is a teacher there. Now, I know what forgiveness means. I know that. That's why today I am here telling you, you can do it. So when you are going to be in a bad place, you want to kill people for what they have done to you, and you don't feel good, you cannot sleep. But once you choose to forgive them, the first step is choose to forgive them. That's a good step. And then the Lord will do the rest. Now, how should I forgive what I have done just now? I confess that sometimes it is very difficult for me to forgive those who have caused me wrong, debt, sin. I have bad days when I think what they were capable of doing. But how can my brother in Christ do that? The minimum thing that they could do is to give me the chance to answer the questions. But the good thing is that I have placed in my heart the desire. I desire to forgive them, even if I don't want to. This is how. I am going to explain how. We should forgive with this approach, just by following the teaching of Jesus. Unforgiveness has helped me to experience two different things. One is the dark side, very dark. or revenge, on trying to hurt back, or feeling like if I experienced that I was in a bad place without any hope of peace. I just wanted to be a serial killer. And I will be a good one if I choose to. Because it is in us to kill. It is in us to do wrong. It comes easy to us. However, when I experience forgiveness, this is only for the brave, for the strong. It's not a sign of weaknesses. I find myself in a good place. Harmony, love, peace, and hope comes to me. I can look you to the eyes. You are my brother and sister in Christ. Therefore, I have chosen to forgive at a price where my sins are pride and pride are gone. That's the price I have to pay. Why? If you accept the love of Christ, sooner or later, you will break the hostility cycle. Sooner or later, you will break the hostility cycle. Why? By putting in practice the love of Christ will touch you, and you will touch others with the true gospel of Christ. Why? Putting in practice the love of Christ will fire our walk with Christ. I want more of Christ. Now, point number two now. Okay. The power of the love of Christ. On our jobs, our ministry, around our neighborhood, and at church, we try to be friendly. We would like that people like us. We do good things because that's who we are. We make an honest attempt to treat people in such a way that we know they have good, positive feelings about us. Okay? We smile. And there is nothing wrong with that. That's good. But we like to be liked. Sometimes it works. And other times it doesn't work. Unfortunately, there are those times when people decide that they don't like us for one reason or the other. Maybe envy, jealousy, I don't know, anything. Even though we have made an attempt to be kind to them. And are wonderful people. They are wonderful people. They have wonderful wives, husbands, sisters, brothers, sons and daughters. They are wonderful people. However, nonetheless, they resolve to be hostile. And this can hurt. It can be very disappointing. We tend to retaliate or to pay back. How we should respond to that? How? When we do that, how? Jesus said that there was a better way. As a matter of faith, he gave us a radical solution to deal with this ancient problem. Instead of retaliating against your enemy, you must be kidding. Jesus is telling us, you love him. By doing good to him or to her. Love him? You have got to be kidding. How can I love someone who has hurt me? Well, you may be saying about now, how can we be expected to love those who are treating us harshly and unfairly? Surely, no one could do that or would want to. Even we Christians, we have our limits, don't we? We have our limits. The reason we demand justice, The reason we demand justice, however, is because we have come to believe that we have certain rights as human beings. So we have some rights. So we demand justice. There's nothing wrong with that. Let us think of the terrorist that blow themselves up because they are hurt, because of the way they feel they were treated. Is that justice? Well, I can tell you it is not the way of Christianity. It is not our way. Listen to Jesus' words, if you can hear them, as it is found in Matthew, and Barbara read for you this morning. They are the words. I am going to explain that in my own words. And this is how. This is the how. He talks about turning the other cheek when someone slaps one. He talks about giving more than the minimum to those who would take something by force. He talks about going the second mile. He talks about praying for those who persecute you and loving your enemies. This is radical talk, indeed. And there is something within us that doesn't like that. I don't like to do that. Why should I? It makes us feel helpless and very uncomfortable. After all, who is going to take care of us if we are like this? People will just walk all over us. Surely there has to be some explanation that will comfort us with the conclusion that Jesus really didn't mean this in a literal sense. Okay, what is Jesus getting at? Is he just making us without any defense in the hands of others? Doesn't make sense, is it? I don't believe so. In fact, I believe that he's giving us a key to unlock the door leading to freedom. That's the freedom I experience. From the anxiety which overcomes those who demand their rights. It is the secret of the power of Jesus, of the love of Christ. That's the secret. How? Jesus obviously knew what he was doing when he gave us the command to love our enemies and to do good to those who do evil to us. And believe me, I know the experience of knowing that, as many of you already know. He knew that there was a positive power to this kind of response. Retaliation only feeds the negative emotion of hostility and makes things worse. When you take this path, I can tell you there is no a winner. You don't win, they don't win. Everyone is a loser. But if you forgive, you will find peace and hope. And these are not just words. I am telling you, you will find peace and hope. How? Accepting the love of Christ will break the hostility cycle. As we respond by turning the other cheek, giving more than is required, our coat as well as our shirt, and going the extra mile, we deal an unexpected blow to the hostility cycle that is expected. During years, I have learned to calmly thank those who criticize me harshly. People come, they have a go at me, and they are ready. Okay, give me your answer, Pedro, I am going to fight you. And I say to them, oh, thank you. I pray that you are praying that the next time I will be a better Christian that you think I should be. And the person, what do I do now? He didn't respond the way I wanted him to respond. What did I do? I broke the hostility cycle. How? How Jesus told me. This work in the workplace, when unreasonable people are flexing their irritating muscles against you, you become bitter or better by how you respond. So, the how is that accepting and putting in practice the love of Christ, it will break the hostility cycle. Remember, Proverbs is full of that. Blessed is the man who overlooks an offense. Why? Why? Putting in practice the love of Christ will touch others with the true gospel of Christ. It is powerful, a powerful acknowledgement of a love that is not of this world. It will bring people into contact with the true gospel. Why are you like that? I want a piece of you. I want a piece of your behavior. Why? Putting in practice the love of Christ will fire our walk with God. It will free your heart from the bondage of bitterness and anger, even hatred. And when your heart is free, then no one can touch you. No one can touch you. How? To think biblically about forgiving others who wrong us, we have to reject the secular mentality of retaliation and adopt the mentality of Christ. The mentality of the love of Christ, the power of the love of Christ, is the power of God that will transform your life and the life of others. Why? If we live in God's forgiveness, we find easier to forgive those who offend us. As simple as that. Forgiveness cannot change the past, but can change the future. With forgiveness, you will find peace. Why? Because our value is not in what we do. Listen, why? Because our value is not in what we do, but in what Christ has done for us. As it is found in 1 Corinthians. By the grace of God, I am what I am. As simple as that. It's not what you do, it's what He has done for you. And you take that. And this is the last page, which is a few minutes to go. Okay. I was thinking this morning, how do I call you? Do I call you Maylanders? Or do I call you Mayland Baptist Church? Anyhow, I am going to call you Maylanders. And you know what I mean, that you are from Mayland Baptist Church. There is a challenge for you today, Maylanders. Do you know why and know how you should forgive? Do you know that? If your answer is yes, then it is going to cost you something. It's not free. It is going to cost you your sins, your pride. It's going to cost you anything that will offend God. And that is good news. If you honestly know God as your Father, you are part of the forgiving fellowship. You sin against God if you ask God to forgive you and you are not capable to forgive those who have done offenses against you. When we forgive those who wrong us, debt or sin us, it is evidence that we have entered into God's forgiveness. If we live in God's forgiveness, we find it easier to forgive those who offend us. You can leave behind your anger, unforgiving heart, and hatred. Because if you ask him, God has poured out his Spirit into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is in the Bible. And yeah, that's the one. Finally, by now you have probably figured out that to answer the two statements we made at the beginning of this preaching, God's forgiveness, to know why we should forgive and to learn how to forgive, very simple. We can turn to the teaching of Jesus. Very simple. As it is found in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5. If you honestly know God as your Father, then you are part of the forgiving fellowship. And I remind you, if you haven't forgiven someone, at least start in your heart. That's a good way. I am going to forgive that person. That's a good start, even if you don't want to. And then the Lord will work with you. And there will be a time, remember the beginning when I said to you, to remember anyone that has done wrong to you, if you forgot, it's because you have already forgiven that person. And the Lord will work through that. And the rest will come with time. Now, I have...